A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Yo, 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 welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your gracious host, Xavier Miller, and today I got a super live episode for y'all that y'all definitely need to tap in. But before we start this episode, as always, I would like to advise all the listeners, watchers, to please share, subscribe, like, comment, leave a 5-star rating and review. All those things we would greatly, greatly appreciate. And getting right into the show, I got a guest that's doing amazing things. We were just talking a little bit before we started, and he's going crazy. He's got a lot of value to bring. He's a serial entrepreneur. His name is Eric Richardson. Welcome to the show, brother. I'm glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you, man. I'm blessed to be here. Thank you for having me.
And just getting straight to it, man. So for the people who been not paying attention to what's going on out here in the world, just give some brief background on who you are and what you do.
So my name is Eric Richardson, also known as the Money Making Juggernaut. And like we talked about previously, you know, I have 30 streams of income. So I do a lot. Primarily, I assist people on filing for unclaimed funds in America.
Okay. So that's a we got to get into it, man. First, the 30 streams of income. Because that sounds on just hearing that is like, yo, that sounds crazy. Yeah. So break that down. Like, how the hell do you have 30 streams of income?
No, it definitely is crazy. You know, I'm an author. That's one of the streams. My book is called The Power of Doing More. So in this book, I explain how I'm able to have 30 streams of income. And it all starts with the mindset to understand that, you know, you are capable of doing it. Most people are like telling you focus on one thing until you can really produce results. But like just a little bit of background, like when I first started generating multiple streams of income, before all of that, I was doing Uber, I was doing DoorDash, I was walking dogs, like I was doing whatever I could to make money.
How old were you at this time?
This was, man, so I played basketball overseas.
Okay.
And when I played in Finland, I played in Spain, and I realized that, you know what, this isn't like sustainable to have the lifestyle that I want. It wasn't the correct financial vehicle. You're making like 500 to 1,000 euros a month, a place to stay. Like, I want to really make meaningful money to take care of my family. So I came back, and you know, I'm like, you know what, these 9-to-5 jobs, they're not really for me. I need to just make money now. So that's why I did the Uber and DoorDash and stuff like that. So, you know, I was just 21 years old doing all of that. But I had a vision. So one of my friends, her father was in a financial firm. So, you know, I really went up to him and I just said, hey, look, you know, I've never done anything in the financial background before. You know, I have my college degree, but I promise you I'll be the hardest worker ever. He brought me on. That first year, I brought the company from $20 million to $30
million. Really? That's crazy. So you came in the game just grinding.
Grinding, yeah. I mean, I just like to observe and replicate. So I saw what was working for him, and I knew what I needed to do, and I brought in, we were selling annuities and life insurance. So that first year, I sold over $5 million in life insurance.
That goes, that's a test to your work ethic and your mentality. So, but when you, so this is, were you still doing like DoorDash and all that at this time, or you stopped?
Yeah, well, that was the crazy thing about me. So like when I was working as the financial advisor, when I got off, I was just still planning to do other streams of income. Like when I was overseas, that's when I picked up helping people filing for unclaimed funds. But when I came back, I knew that I needed a primary source of income that could allow me to start investing into other things. So, you know, as a financial advisor, we was making great money doing that. Yeah.
And when you say filing for unclaimed funds, so on the most simplest term, just for people that may not even know, like what the hell does that even mean? Break that down.
Well, for starters, there's over $60 billion of unclaimed funds in America. $60 billion with a B.
Yeah. Is that like on a yearly basis or just?
This is just total. Period, that's, yeah. So, yeah, and you can do a simple Google search and you can verify that. So, these unclaimed funds that are in America, this is because unclaimed bank accounts, unclaimed like insurance payouts, or after foreclosures, when somebody loses their property in a foreclosure due to non-payment in taxes or mortgage, the property sells for a higher amount, probably about 60% of the time. And if it does, that's known as excess proceeds. And these monies, they go unclaimed. And the previous owner, they have no idea about it. There's also unclaimed money from a bankruptcy. There's so many different realms of unclaimed money that people have no idea about. So, you know, I discovered that back in 2018 when I was playing overseas. Getting the list of these unclaimed funds is all public records. So you can do simple Google searches. You can find it on county records, state records. You can find this money literally lying around everywhere. But the people who are entitled to funds, right, they have no idea about it. So that's where we step in. We perform the research. We explain how we can assist them, and you get a commission for it, for helping them file the claim.
Really? So how long does this process take?
Well, it varies, for starters, on the type of unclaimed funds. Like, okay, if we're doing unclaimed money at the county, you can help somebody file the claim and get paid out in 2 weeks. Opposed to if it's excess proceeds after a foreclosure, that's probably going to take about 60 days because you have to go through the proper channels. The funds are typically held at the court or by a trustee.
How does someone, like, so let's say somebody watching and listening, mm-hmm, right? How do they figure out if this, like, apply to their lives, or they have money out here that's unclaimed?
Yeah, well, they can do first, I recommend everybody to go to their state treasurer's office, all right? You can do a simple unclaimed search for whatever state they're in. Look up your name, look up your family members' names, and you might actually see that you have some money entitled to you.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, like, I've helped my family members. They, you know, just go on there. Like I told you, I was born in Louisiana. As soon as I found out about it, immediately saw that my grandma and my auntie, they were entitled. Like, it wasn't a lot of money, but hey, it's like $1,300 you're entitled to.
You know, $1,300 is $1,300.
Yeah, yeah. And that adds up. That's why there's over $60 billion, because this little money here and there, or maybe large payouts here and there, stuff. Like, people will have a life insurance policy and list somebody as a beneficiary, and they may not even know it. So the insurance company has to report it to the state, and it's like, hey, they never filed for it, but your name is on the list directly from the state that you're entitled.
What? Mm-hmm. So is there a deadline? Let's say it's been 10 years past. Can you still claim that money? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so the whole thing about unclaimed money is each type of different unclaimed funds has different intricacies. So if it's unclaimed money at the state, that's never going to expire, and it actually gains interest. I had one of my students, he helped somebody in New Jersey where he had unclaimed funds back from 1986, and they claimed it in 2022. Imagine all the interest that was gained.
How much was it?
Bro, it was $135,000. Yeah, he ended up making over $27,000 for his commission on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're charging. You can charge.
Right, you can charge.
There's... some states will have a cap, but ideally we're within the 15% to 30% range on assisting people for this.
Yo, this is big information, because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there's 60, like you said, there's $60 billion in funds mm-hmm. that's unclaimed. There's a huge portion of people that applies to that have no clue.
Yeah, and like I said, there's different realms of unclaimed money. Me personally, I love to do the excess funds after a foreclosure, because that's truly helping somebody. So like, if somebody goes through a foreclosure, you know, not paying their taxes or not paying their mortgage, it's a tough time for them. So this money that they're entitled to can be a new start for them. So I like to primarily focus on that. The unclaimed money at the state and county level is still something that we do. We have a call center and we attack every realm, even bankruptcy too, but we take pride and the post-foreclosure assistance.
Post-foreclosure assistance? Mm-hmm. Just discuss that a little bit.
Yeah, so let's say, for example, you own your property, right? Your property is worth, you know, $100,000, and you didn't pay your taxes. You got behind on your taxes, so you have a tax bill due of $10,000, all right? This property is going to be sold at a county auction, and the opening bid is going to be what you owe in taxes, because the county, they just want their taxes. The property isn't necessarily theirs, but the taxes is enough for them to go ahead and confiscate that property and host an auction so that they can get that money back. Now, if you owe $10,000 and the property's worth $100,000, property's most likely going to sell for probably about $70,000 to $80,000. So if it sells for that excess amount, which is the difference between what you owed and what it sold for, is entitled to the previous owner. And this is, all 50 states have this state statute, and they don't even know about it. And you know what's crazy? The county, you might say, well, why didn't the county, why don't they
right,
tell these people?
Right, why they don't tell people?
The thing is, the county sends a letter to the house that was foreclosed.
So you're not getting it.
You're not getting it. You're not getting it. So that's where we step in. We perform the research. We figure out, hey, first of all, who's entitled? Who's the correct claimant? And then we do our research. We contact them, and we explain to them. And the beauty about doing this business is you don't need any previous experience. You don't need any special certifications or anything like that. You just have to be professional and actually understand how they're entitled and accurately explain it so they can believe you. Because it can sound crazy. Like, you're telling me I just got foreclosed, and now I'm entitled like
some money.
Thousands. Like, right. Yeah, right, that's a scam. But if you give the proper information in the right order at the right time, along with the state statute showing them that it's real, we use attorneys to file all of our claims. You have a legitimate business. You have an actual company. Now you can actually sign people up, 15-30% on your commission. And, I mean, you can go look at my student success stories. This takes about 2 hours of paperwork. The wait time is the county reviewing it, going through the proper channels, things like that.
Yo, I would advise everybody listening and watching to please look this stuff up, because this is crucial, man. Especially right now, there's so many people that's getting houses foreclosed on or had houses foreclosed on years ago. They don't even know they got money out here somewhere that they could tap into if they do the proper procedures.
Yeah, the proper procedures for sure. And like I said, we take pride in helping people going through these foreclosures, especially in the states. Because not every state is the same. They all have different statutes when it comes to those excess proceeds. Like California, for example. In California, if a tax sale occurs, you only have 1 year to claim those excess proceeds. If you don't claim them, the county gets to keep it for their budget. And the crazy thing is, the county knows that people don't really claim these funds, so they account that for their budget. Like, going into next year, okay, we need to get some roads done. We need to have this for that with the county budget. They can kind of take into account how much excess proceeds are going to come about, because people just don't file it.
Yo, this is a crazy game, but you got to, like, that's the wealth game, the money game. That's why you have to be so intentional and strategic and such a researcher, such that's looking for information. Because there's so much information out here that you have no idea that can change your
life.
And
that's what I did when I was playing overseas, man. It was just like going to practice, going to games, going to the weight room. And I'm like, man, I need to figure out how to make this money. So when I was out there, I got my first property on Airbnb, set that up. And then I discovered surplus funds as well. And I just start smashing it, man, doing my research, locating counties that have the list of excess proceeds available, did my skip tracing, was making calls, and you can do this business anywhere. Like, I did this business while I was in Europe. Like, you just need Wi-Fi. You call people, you get them to sign up. Documents do need to be notarized, but you can schedule a mobile notary to get everything signed. Yeah.
When you say surplus funds, break that up. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so surplus funds and excess proceeds, overbids, they're all the same thing, just different terms. That's the amount in which the previous owner is entitled that sells for higher than what they owed.
That's insane. Have you ever, I'm sure you probably looked it up for yourself. Did you have, like, money out here owed to you somewhere?
Yeah, that was the first thing I looked up. I think, like, the thing about me is I'm not letting no money slip the cracks. Yeah. So I didn't, but my mother did, my aunt and my grandmother. That was unclaimed money on the state side. Like, they might have overpaid, I don't know, it was like an electric bill. They had, like, a small little payment. My friend's dad, he had like $1,200 that was owed to him from he had like a insurance policy that paid out, but he never claimed the check. So, you know, we discovered that. But yeah, there's so much. It's crazy that, like, we think about it, America has like trillions in debt, but yet we have $60 billion unclaimed money.
it's insane when you think about it. I want to talk about, because we talked about this before we started, is you actually live in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So I want you to discuss, like, because you're not from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So discuss, like, how that came about. Like, why are you in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, well, the reason why I'm in Puerto Rico is because of the Act 60. So it has the tax benefits. So in Puerto Rico, it's 4% on the corporate side and then 0% to the company owner. And when I was a financial advisor, I understood that taxes is going to be your largest expense as a business owner.
Facts.
So I'm just doing my research. Like you said, you have to be intentional and ready to absorb information at all times. And the first year, because I became a millionaire at 26.
26.
Yeah. So I stopped playing overseas at 24. It took me 2 years to become a millionaire. And I realized that, you know, hey, I don't want to just keep funneling out all this money on taxes, even with all the expenses. Because I tried that my first year. I had my expenses so high. And it just, me naturally, I'm a frugal person. I don't like to just spend money.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, Puerto Rico was the best route because I get to keep my U.S. citizenship, quick flight. And things like that. I didn't want to go to Dubai or nothing like that.
So how long, to get those tax benefits, mm-hmm. how long do you have to be in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, so it's 6 months and 1 day. So okay. It's not consecutive, but you have to get your
time. Oh, you don't have to be straight.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you get, you said 4%?
4% corporate and then 0% to the company owner if you're paying yourself dividends. Yeah.
That's, everybody listening, man, mm-hmm. do y'all understand how insane that is? Because I know you're probably like the fourth or fifth person I know that actually moved to Puerto Rico mm-hmm. just for those reasons.
Yeah.
And that's huge because, like you said, taxes is a big expense, and it's a headache.
Yeah.
It's a headache.
It really is.
You know, you get that bill every year, you like, damn, oh, this much this year? Like,
yeah, exactly. Fuck, and it's like, I'm paying all that, and I'm not getting no amenities. Like,
nothing.
Not even, like, a free gym membership. Nope. Like, what am I getting out of this?
So what do you do? So since you saving so much more mm-hmm. money now, so what do you do with, like, the extras that you save?
Yeah.
Is it something you just invest in?
Well, yeah, I just opened the men's luxury spa,
okay.
which is in Orlando, downtown Orlando. So I pretty much used bulk of my money towards that. But each year, you know, I created a plan for myself. I said, hey, look, I'm 28 right now. If I work 7 more years, I can retire at 35. Because to qualify for that, you have to have a business that is able to be outsourced in Puerto Rico. So, like,
with really?
You can't do like a brick and mortar and get those benefits. Right. But I have my business where we're assisting people with the unclaimed funds. We have a call center, so that's outsourced. You know, I have my coaching, consulting. I do my YouTube content, so that qualifies for outsourcing because even though I'm making my content in Puerto Rico, I'm delivering it out, you know, to the whole world essentially.
So when you're there, if you said 6 months in a day,
mm-hmm.
you could still be like moving around, traveling for those 6 months in a day.
I travel all the time, yeah. I travel. I'm always in Europe, South America. They just, you know, you have to do things properly.
Right.
Like they want to make sure that you have a permanent residence, you got your license, you registered to vote, you know, gym membership, or you go to church, things like that, because you can't finesse.
That's important to know, because so many mm-hmm. people, we having this conversation, they'll hear this conversation. I think some people immediate mindset goes, oh, how can I finesse that?
You better be legitimate, because they do an audit on you, it's gonna be over.
The IRS, mm-hmm. for everybody that don't know, that's watching and listen, the IRS do not fuck around.
Yeah,
you do not want them problems.
Yeah.
They got 90,000 agents
in
the country.
They just increased it too.
They just increased it. They paying attention.
Yeah,
they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Do the right thing, y'all. Yeah. Don't try to cut no corners, because you're gonna just fuck yourself over.
Nigga. Yeah.
So that's important to know, because this, I feel like that's a huge move, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but what, talk about this though, because I think so many people they don't know that's a good move for them, but they'll be scared because it's like, yo, it's Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
They kind of feel like they're not in America no more. It's far from home.
Yeah.
Like, how did you adjust to that?
Yeah. Well, in San Juan, I mean, it's, to be honest, the way that, you know, we were talking about how Jacksonville changed and Orlando, like San Juan is really renovating, and there's a lot of Americans that are moving there for the Act 60. But it's great, you know, you got to learn a little bit of Spanish. I've been practicing, I've been learning. It's a beautiful country. I walk to the beach, I walk to the gym, I get my work in, and it's peaceful. It's very peaceful.
Do you have to buy or rent for this to...
So there's different qualifications. Like if you're somebody who's like somebody who does like trading or like crypto or things like that, you can qualify for a different type of tax benefit, but you will have to purchase a property. If you want to go the other route, like I'm taking, you can just rent. So, really? Yeah, you don't have to purchase your home immediately. They'll give you a year, but you do have to purchase a primary residence right. if you're going that route. And you can pay no capital gains, which is great for, like, any type of investors.
Especially
you
real know, estate.
Capital gains is crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anybody that's huge in the stock market, crypto, Forex, things like that, if you want to transition over to Puerto Rico, you'll just have to purchase a primary residence.
That's big, bro. So mm-hmm. did you being a certified financial planner, that open your eyes up to this? Or is it something that you kind of always kind of were aware of?
Well, it definitely opened my mind in terms of, like, learning how the wealthy individuals navigate with their taxes, because people would come in all the time and, you know, we would discuss their financials, their taxes, their, you know, planning of retirement, life insurance, annuities, stock market, all of that. And, you know, I just kept realizing that, you know, a lot of the people who are paying the least amount in taxes are in real estate. So I immediately started making sure that I'm doing my fix and flips. I have my properties on Airbnb. I have my long-term rentals, because I was just studying the game. You know, when I first came over, like I said, I was doing Uber and all that. So when I came in, I didn't really have all the funds to invest, but I was soaking up the knowledge with all these clients. And then I immediately took action. So I just, man, I've been buying up property like crazy. Like every year, my goal is to buy 4 properties. So I've been buying up the properties, put them on Airbnb. But each property has a different strategy. It's not all Airbnb, or it's not all fix and flip. You know, I do a little bit of everything.
That's big. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this for a second. With you being a certified financial planner, what are some of the biggest differences you notice between the people with money or the wealthy and people without it?
Yeah.
Well, how they handle it?
Well, to be honest, first of all, life is a game. You just got to know how to play it. So there's so many different, like, rules to making money and keeping money. People are always focused on, oh, I made this much this year, but how much did you actually keep?
Facts. That's what's important.
Yeah, exactly. So that is really what I learned. Like, the wealthy individuals, they did that. The wealthy individuals are constantly planning for the future and making sure that they're set up. Like, I don't even want to make this a whole conversation about life insurance, but it can really propel your family. Like, when I'm looking at the wealthy individuals, I'm looking at their life insurance payouts, and I'm like, wow, he just got this payout, and he's already super wealthy. His or her parents just got them this $1 million policy that they just received, and now they're dumping that into more investments. So it's like, once your money comes in, you keep multiplying it. And that's what I learned. The individuals who don't make as much money, you know, they're more on the consumer side, spending a lot of money, not understanding all the different rules to the game of money.
What do you think about writing things off, or writing mm-hmm. most things off? What do you think about that?
Well, the thing about, you know, writing things off, we can find all these videos on YouTube and Instagram. Oh, you should do this. You should do that. The number one thing is, you got to make money.
Yep.
You have to make enough revenue for your write-off to make sense. Yep. You know, because the IRS, when they're looking at it, they want to say, hey, is this a reasonable business activity that makes sense for you to earn income? So, like, we could give you a play to write off to buy a G-Wagon, or to, you know, have these travel expenses. But if you're not actually making revenue, that doesn't even apply to you. So you just got to focus on making that income first.
And then I think the thing that people miss with that as well is mm-hmm. when you're trying to build wealth, or whatever the case may be, a lot of it is leveraging other people's money. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to leverage other people's money if on paper it looks like you didn't make any money.
Absolutely.
It's going to be very hard. It's like it's like when I was purchasing something recently, when I bought my house, mm-hmm. they wanted to look at my 22 and my mm-hmm. 21 tax returns.
Yeah.
But in 2021, I wrote, like, everything off. Exactly. Because I'm hearing, like, this, you need to write stuff off.
Paper losses, yeah.
So I did it. And then mm-hmm. I realized, in 2022, I'm like, damn, that was the wrong move. Like, it looked like I didn't do anything on paper. Yeah. So in 22, I didn't write anything. Mm-hmm. So on paper, it looked like it went from this to this.
And you know what's crazy? Like, I went through the same thing, too. That, like I said, my first year, I was writing everything off.
Yeah.
What saved me was I still had my financial advising job. So that W-2 employment allowed me to get approved for a lot of things, because when I was purchasing these homes, they're like, hey, we want to see these W-2s. And when I first started out, I didn't have my S-Corp, and I wasn't paying myself as an employee. So I learned, and as you go through life, you learn these different things. And now I know I'm issuing myself a W-2 every year because they're looking for this stuff. And if you want to take advantage of the OPM, they need to have those financials to go off of.
That's a fact. Like, that's what I did, because I've had a job, and it's been, like, over 5 years. So, mm-hmm. I didn't have the W-2. So, they asked me, they're like, how did you make a jump from this to that?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I just wrote everything off that
exactly.
year. So, I had to show them, like, I had to hurry up and get my 23 tax returns done to show them the consistency. They're like, mm-hmm. I see what's going on.
But it's not like you could say, like, hey, look, here's my income, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they don't care. But, like, people probably don't know. They don't care about that. They we want to see those tax returns.
And that actually frustrated me my first year, because I'm like, yo, I'm running this up. What do you mean I'm not qualifying for this?
No,
like, are you crazy? I just showed you. I made.
Yeah, they don't care about none of that. Exactly. They want to see tax returns. Mm-hmm. If you're a W-2, they want to see bank statements.
Exactly.
They want to see all those. Like, they want to see all those things. Mm-hmm. So I also want to talk about for a second, because you just said you started the Men's Luxury Spot mm-hmm. in Orlando.
Yeah.
So what, like, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this. Like, what does the luxury spa consist
Intel?
Of?
Yeah. So at the Men's Luxury Spa, we have a safe haven for men to get all of the proper treatment. So we have massages, we have facials, pedicures, manicures, and most importantly, our amenity center is what separates us. So we have the cold plunge, jacuzzi, sauna, and steam room. I've seen other, like, spas out there for men where they'll do the haircut, they'll give you, like, a little massage, maybe you'll get your feet done, but they don't have the other aspects that really boost your wellness. Like, if you look at the stats, like, if you go to a sauna just one time a month, you reduce the risk of a heart rate by, I think, like, 60%.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, yeah, we're huge on wellness. It's where luxury meets wellness. That's our slogan, Men's Luxury Spa.
Okay. I love it, bro. And what made you get mm-hmm. into it? Is that was something, like, that went on with your life or stuff you've seen with others that made you say, I want to do this and cater to men?
Yeah, so, like, I like to get, like, my feet done, my hands done. Mm-hmm. I love getting massages. These are things that I love to do for self-care. But every time I go get a pedicure or a manicure, it's always the same. Like, you go in and there's all females and they laugh at your feet. And, like, you know, at the beginning it's funny, but after a while it's like, man, I wanted, like, you know, I'm trying to be comfortable. So, you know, I wanted to design, like I said, a safe haven for men and make it really luxury, you know, so that the affluent individuals can come in. And our staff is all female, so we have, you know, beautiful women that are providing the services.
That's fire. That's fire, man. And I want to take it back to something you mentioned earlier, because you mentioned life insurance. Mm-hmm. And in your opinion, should everybody have life insurance?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Life is the only thing guaranteed. I mean, death is the only thing guaranteed in life, yeah.
Because I know how some people – what do you think about this? Because I've heard people say this. They're like, if you don't have any, like, friends or family members mm-hmm. and what's going on, you necessarily don't need it.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, right now I have a $1.5 million life insurance policy, and I don't have any kids. I don't have a wife. You know, essentially my sister is just my sole beneficiary, but I know in the future I will. So you have to start planning for the future now. And I think that's a huge issue with young individuals, and most importantly, minorities. Like, I come from a background, like, I'm black and white. My dad's white, my mom is black, and I see both sides. Like, I see on my dad's side, all of them have life insurance. And then on the other side, it's like, hey, you know, so-and-so just passed away. Now we got to scrape up the dollars to cover the funeral expense. And, like, now it's a huge burden. You're already grieving, and now you have to pay for that. Opposed to the other side, it's like, this person just passed away. Now you're getting a check for a couple thousand dollars, if not sometimes millions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's very important. And I think that is the missing step from minorities to really take us to out of the position that we're in, financially struggling. And it just comes from knowledge. Like,
facts.
You know, insurance isn't that expensive.
No, it isn't at all. Yeah. Like, I think, I remember my first insurance policy, mm-hmm. I think it was $25 a month.
You can do it. But then there's people out here blowing money on Hennessy bottles and doing all that,
It's no facts. Yeah. And it was a $400,000 policy, too.
Yeah.
It was $25 a month. But I think sometimes people don't, like, our mortality, like, I think so many people just feel like we're going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, death, it can happen abruptly, out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And then how I see it is, I think when you pass away, I think there should be somebody that comes up. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think it's just, whether it's family, friends, if you don't got any family, somebody should be able to, like, because it's, that we all know that's an extremely difficult grieving process. Having to grieve and worry about finances is crazy.
Exactly.
So I think somebody should be relieved of the financial burden and just be able to grieve about losing somebody, where they should be able to get some money.
Yeah.
And some people, when they hear this, it sounds like, because I remember having a conversation with somebody like years ago about his like grandparents. Oh, do your grandparents got life insurance? They're 90 something years old. They're like, nah. I'm like, dude, they're closer to dying. So I'm like, why are you not getting it? He's like, nah, this just sounds messed up putting life insurance on my.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, y'all tripping.
Exactly. Because the thing is, there's hidden cost to death. Like, you know, of course, the burial, people don't really think about that. But then the other stuff, like, okay, let's say their property goes. And to honest, you know, with us helping people in foreclosures, probably about 35% of our clients are actually heirs of deceased individuals. So, like, we'll contact them and we'll say, hey, look, you know, like, your father or, you know, your grandparents own this property. And they had no idea that their grandparents owned the property. And now it's foreclosed because, of course, they're...
Nobody's been paying taxes.
Nobody's been paying the...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should, too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Taxes, and now we're helping them get money, which they're, you know, happy to receive those funds. But if they would have known that their family members even own that property, they would have been paying the taxes. Or, you know, if they would have got a life insurance payout, they could have kept the property as well. Because properties, man, I've been doing this business for over 6 years now, and I've helped people who are, you know, now homeless, or, you know, their parents own the property, parents passed away. And that house is sentimental to them. They grew up in that house. Their parents grew up in their house. Maybe their grandparents as well. So losing that, it not only just affects them monetarily and physically losing a place to stay, but also a part of their heart as well.
That's real, man. That's all this life insurance, that's one of the most important things. Because it's really, and like I said, it sounds messed up to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's really like the fastest way to build wealth.
Exactly. That's the first step, to be honest. Like, I was thinking about this. I was like, man, my policy is $1.5 million right now. By the time I actually die, hopefully, you know, in the 80s, it's probably going to be even huger. Maybe. I'm like, man, my kids, they're
going to come up.
It's mazel tov. This is about to be a celebration.
No, facts. And that's not even including what the other
the
assets.
The other assets, exactly.
And bank accounts and all that
exactly.
stuff. So they're going to come up big time. And that's...
And the thing is, you know, as a financial planner, too, having everything properly structured, too, at a young age is important. So, like, right now, you know, I have all of my assets allocated so that if I do pass away now, everything is taken care of itself. So, like, you know, bank accounts and my properties, all of that has to be under, like, the trust, then the LLCs, then the personal name. So that way, if death does occur... There is no family members arguing, oh, I deserve this, I need that. Everything's already outlined.
That's another thing that people wait to do.
Yep,
to
exactly.
To way further in life.
Yeah.
Some don't. Some never do it.
Exactly.
So that's important. I want to talk about, because you mentioned how you started this at 24 and you became a millionaire within 2 years.
Yeah.
So explain, like, how did you, like, systemize that and structure your life to get that accomplished?
Yeah. So the first thing was the primary source of income, which I think that when we're first starting out, that is very crucial, because when it comes to building wealth, for starters, my definition of wealth is in which your income is exceeding your expenses. So I knew having the primary source of income was going to be enough to handle my rent, my car payment, my insurance, all of that stuff, my food, giving me the excess amount to then invest without having the stress of, dang, I got to work hard to get it, you know, somewhere else. And I can't really focus on my other investments. So after I had the primary source of income, now I started doing my additional streams. That's when I had surplus funds. I started getting multiple properties on Airbnb, cars on Turo, you know, doing all coaching, you know, all of that to just keep increasing the revenue.
The thing is, as time goes on, this it can elevate very, very quickly.
It happens quickly, like really quick. People don't understand. Like that was a 2-year frame, and I just look back and I'm like, wow. While I was studying to become a financial advisor, I was doing the Uber, the DoorDash, walking dogs. But then I worked the night shift, so I was a security guard from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. because I was studying to do the financial advising. And it was an easy job, but people don't understand, like, when you're young, you don't have anything, you better do anything you can to get out of your situation. So I'm working 10 to 6. I'm like, I'm struggling, like, to sleep. Like, it's difficult, but I knew as soon as I passed that exam, boom, I'm out, financial advising, I'm a Propel. And I just outlined everything. I knew what I had to do, and I made it structured, and I just took action.
Were you in a relationship at that time?
Relationship at that time, no. Mm-mm.
No. And the reason I asked that question, because I feel like that's a hiccup that a lot of younger people go through when they're trying to get their shit together. Wrong relationships, get the wrong person pregnant.
Yeah,
all those
exactly.
things, and those things could set you back for decades. I've talked to people that's 45 and they're like, I'm just now getting my life together because I fucked up in my early 30s and that set me back.
Yeah.
So the fact that you kind of was able to avoid a lot of the things that people go through, that's a...
Yeah, I think if you do have a partner while you're trying to grow, you just have to remember that, like, your goals, your ideas, your aspirations are yours for a reason. So, like, sometimes partners, they might rub off on you and you don't even know it. Like, their daily habits can impact you. So just, like, if you really want to change, you have to make it on yourself and not allow your partner to kind of slow you down.
No, yo, that's a really deep conversation, honestly, because as we know, the people are, what they say, it's the old saying, if I know you're...
the five closer in your circle,
Yep, I know you. So it's like, if you're around somebody every day, and you're not going to be around nobody more than your partner, or your whoever your significant other, whatever you want to call it. You know, so if you're around them every day and they have shitty habits, it's only a matter of time before that rubs off on you. It's going to happen. Yeah. So you have to be very, very, very careful of the people that you let consume your space, your energy, your time, all this stuff.
No, it's crazy, man. My friends, since I moved to Puerto Rico, I had two of my friends that I actually partnered with to open the spa. Before that, they're like, man, we seen you been killing it. Like, we just want to come to Puerto Rico for a week and just see what you do day to day. And they were just mind blown, like, all the stuff that I get accomplished. Like, every day I get out my notebook, pen and paper, and I write down my task, and I call them money earning activities, so MEA. And they see that, like, I'm not playing around.
It's structured.
Like, I got stuff to do. Like, I'm not just playing around. Okay, I got this meeting, I got to execute this, I got to shoot this content, I got this email, let me hit the gym real quick. Boom, right back in it. Got this to do, boom, boom, boom. And they were just like, bro, you're doing like 12, 14 things in a day. I realized that I'm bullshitting. Like, I'm only doing 2-3 things a day. And, like, I'm just chilling. Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm watching Netflix, or I'm at LA Fitness for 3 hours just chopping it up, hooping with the guys. When in reality, I'm in behind in life, and I need to start executing.
And that's one of the biggest differences between people that are achieving great things in life and people that aren't, is the structure and a long period of time of that structure, because I feel like the first month is probably the hardest for people to do that every day, but then after a while it's just like you coasting,
because at the beginning you're shifting your habits
and it's hard to do that. So that
it is.
So what time do you wake up every morning?
See, that's the thing. Like, I see out there, there's so many, like, million-dollar morning routines and stuff like that. Like, to be honest, I'm usually working until like 1 or 2 in the morning. So I'll
you get up later probably.
Well, it depends. If I have something important, like this morning, for example, like I flew in, I was definitely tired, but this morning I had a hearing to evict one of my tenants. So I knew I had to wake up early. So I'm like, okay, I'll wake up early for that. But usually I like to wake up around like 10 or 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because I feel the same way as you do, because everybody be like, they'll try to get a set schedule that they heard somebody else mention. Yeah. Like, he said you need to wake up at 5 a.m. I'm like, yo, that's him.
Yeah, exactly.
Your life, you're your own person. Yeah. You got to do what works best for you. Like, whether that's waking up at 10, 11, or whatever, at 5 a.m., whatever. Because I know I'll probably wake up at like 8. I have a daughter now, so it can change.
So she getting
and I'm staying up later.
Yeah, exactly.
Working. So I may wake up at 8. Maybe a day I work up at 10.
Yeah.
It all depends on the day, but it's still a structured day. But as long as
you're, structured day and you're getting things accomplished, like, because think about how many people will watch that $1 million morning routine, wake up at 5, and then don't do anything.
Because they're so tired.
Exactly.
They're tired. At 9 a.m., they like, shit, I'm sleepy, man. Exactly. I got no energy for the rest of the day. So that's real. You really have to do whatever whatever works best for you. So how old are you now?
Yeah, I'm 28.
So you're 28 now. So you still, man, salute, bro. You still super young, killing it in the game. So you also said you got a book. What's the name of your book?
Power of Doing More.
Power of Doing More. Yeah. That goes to doing. So what made you come up with that? How you come up with that?
Well, the thing is, like, people always ask me, like, how do you do it? How do you have these streams of income? So I just put all of my knowledge in that book, and it really explains, starting off, you have to really feel that you are worthy of the lifestyle that you want. Because people can say, like, oh, I want to accomplish this, I want to do that. But if deep down inside you don't feel like that life is meant for you, you're not going to make that change to actually get it done.
How important was visualization for you?
It's huge. Like, I'm very spiritual, high faith, and I always tell God, keep giving me the visions. That's essentially why I have 30 streams of income, because God gave me an idea, I'm going to execute on it. Like, I feel like it's disrespectful for him to give me a business idea and not take action on it. So visionary is huge, but what really helped me, and my grandfather told me this, and he was saying that, like, you know, if you plan out your life with like a roadmap, all you have to do is just drive.
Follow.
So what I did was I said, okay, I want to accomplish certain things, right? Most people say, oh, I want to be a millionaire, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. Let's say I want to start a podcast. They'll just do that, but they won't break down the steps to actually achieve that. First step, you know, come up with the podcast name, then get the cameras, the microphones, all of that. Like, just structure it so now you know, this is what I need to do. Now I just need to do it.
And there's an old saying. They say when you come, even especially when it comes to business, they say the blueprints for every business on how to be successful is already out there. So they say stop making decisions and start following directions.
Yeah.
And that's when I heard that, I was like, yo, that's a bar, because thinking and trying to come up with stuff, it takes time.
It does.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times, I know me in my personal life, when I get up in the morning, when I get dressed, I like to wear like the most simplest things. Mm-hmm. So it takes my brain away from thinking about what am I about to wear. Because that might take me 45 minutes to do that alone.
Yeah,
exactly. Then I'm ironing it. Yeah. Then I'm like, I don't like it. Let me try something else. Yeah. Now I'm an hour in. Yeah. So I'm like, I just need something simple.
See, and I can see you're an HPI. I call it high-performing individual. Like, you know that, okay, I got stuff to do today. Yep. I can't be playing around doing all this other stuff.
No, because it's everything, bro, everything, like, man, the clock is always going.
Especially when you're behind.
That's when it gets discouraging, because you feel like, man, I'm so behind. Mm-hmm. I got so much to do.
Yep.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So you just like
structure.
So what would you say? Like, that's a good question. What would you say to people? Because there's a lot of people that's watching and listening that they feel like that.
Yeah.
They're like, man, I'm 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be way ahead of where I am. I got so much going on. I got so much debt.
Yeah.
So much shit to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah.
What would you say to that person?
Yeah, my advice is it can happen very fast, but once again, you have to structure it, and then you have to figure out, like, what can you do that you know that you'll be passionate about? Because, you know, essentially we could tell somebody 100 ways to make money or 100 different things that they can do to make their life better. But if they don't really feel like, hey, this is for me, it's not going to happen. So if you are in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 18, it doesn't matter. Your life can really change, but it all starts really in your mind, which is, you know, it's so cliche it's the truth. It's really the truth that you have to reshape your mind before you reshape your life.
It is, bro. And that's why, big reason why we named this podcast, Millionaire mm-hmm. Mindset.
Yep.
Like, people,
yeah.
I always say this. I ask people, do you think I was a millionaire mm-hmm. before, when I started this podcast?
Yep.
But I knew it's the mindset. It's about mindset, vision, exactly. about working things. Yep. Like, you got to fix the mind way before any of this stuff comes to fruition. But I want to ask you, because you mentioned you have a travel vlog, mm-hmm. right? So what's all the places you've been? And it's the reason I'm asking this.
Yeah, there are so many places. Like, you know, I was playing basketball in Europe, so I've been to a lot of places in Europe. Mm-hmm. I've been to Spain. I've been to Portugal. I've been to the UK. I've been to Germany, France, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Romania.
Okay.
In Europe. And then South America, Colombia, Brazil. Just got back from Argentina.
Moving
a lot of places, Dominican Republic, live in Puerto Rico, Bahamas, Mexico, Canada, a lot of places. But you know, the number one thing about traveling, getting in different settings evokes different ideas. So, like, a lot of the ideas that I've gotten have come from me being in these other countries.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah. like, is there the problems that we have in America when it comes to financially?
Mm-hmm.
Are those is it the same universal? That's why I was bringing up where you've been.
Well, I mean, it's different, though, because, like, you can go to a third world country and obviously see that they're going through some financial struggles. I think more so in terms of, like, Europeans and Americans. Like, they say, oh, Americans, I think it's work to live. Or, no, live to work.
Live to work.
And then Europeans work to live. Live to work. I don't know whichever one it is. No. But they're not working as hard. They just want to live life, make a little bit of money, and they're good. We have, like, this sort of mindset, you know, in America that, and I have that mindset. I'm always trying to work. Like, I want to be elite. I want to make as much money as possible, live the best lifestyle that I can. But, you know, it's all about your culture, how you were raised. There's some people that are complacent with just living, you know, a nice lifestyle.
Because it's in America, we have so much going on. Like, I was reading something, and I actually tweeted about mm-hmm. it yesterday, and it was related to the cost of living now compared to, like, in 1997.
Oh, yeah.
And it says in 1997, the average new home price was $124,000.
Mm-hmm.
The average cost of a new car was $16,000. The average monthly rent price was $576.
Oh, my gosh.
And the average income was $37,000. And in 2024, it says the average new house is $384,000.
Mm-hmm.
Average new car is $47,000. Average rent price is $1,900. And the average income is $63,000. So the cost of living has at minimum 3 to 4x,
mm-hmm.
while the average person income hasn't even doubled.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do people...
Yeah.
How do you survive? How do you survive? Basically, is what I'm asking. Exactly. Like, how do you survive in these times when everything is going higher, and income is just pretty much staying just slightly above stagnant?
Now, there are some countries that are going through the same issues. Like, I was just in Argentina, and my videographer, he was telling me that inflation is going at, like, 25% there. So I knew that they were
going through some stuff.
That, and Canada as well. Now, like, these other countries, I don't think so. But, like, for us in America to sustain it, you have to have multiple streams of income. Like, there's no other choice right now. It's either that or, you know, I saw you were talking about don't be afraid to get a roommate.
Yep.
We stuck in times like that. If you're not really getting to it, you're going to have to roomie it up.
And it's so funny. A lot of the people responses, they're like, I'm not living with a stranger. I'm not living with... I'm like, well, if you're struggling, I don't know. I don't know what to... Yeah. I feel you, because I wouldn't mm-hmm. want to do it anyway myself. Luckily, I'm blessed where I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But so I get where people are coming from, but... And desperate times call for desperate measures.
Exactly.
If I had to live with a roommate because I'm fucked up, I'm doing it. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get out of the situation. I just feel like in these times specific, it's just so I feel like you have to be so strategic. You cannot play
around.
You have to.
You got to be locked in.
You got to be.
I be telling my mom all the time, like, you're not locked in. Like, I come home, like, this needs to be done. Like, you have to be locked.
Because this is not the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Exactly.
Rent is $500. Yeah, yeah. Like,
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fact that you said a car is $47,000, average
new car.
What are they getting, a Benz? Like, this is, I hope a Honda Civic don't cost that much.
No, you know, man, you're going to get a new Benz, that's going to be $80, $100. Like, those, I'm pretty sure that's probably like a brand new Kia or something.
Wow.
$47,000.
That's crazy.
I remember $47,000 when I was a kid, that was a new Benz.
And you know what's crazy? And I made a video on this probably about 4 years ago, how, like, people get caught up on these hourly wages. Like, I know people who are excited to get $20 an hour. And when you really break down $20 an hour after taxes each week, how much are you making? You're probably making, like, $560. So then you do that times four. Do you even have enough for your cost of living at that point? But you're over here excited that you got a job making $20 an hour. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying you have to have a larger mindset, start having additional streams of income, because it's just not going to cut it.
No, that, bro, you preaching. Because that I think a lot of people are still, because times is moving so fast, everything is happening so fast, it's easy to get stuck in a past time.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are still stuck in a past time, because if you're, your aim is $20 an hour, yeah, you stuck in 1995.
Exactly.
When we was small kids, that was, you heard that, you like, wow,
yeah,
that
person, wow, you doing good. You exactly. doing good. Yep.
In 2024, that's like, yo, I'm not trying to down talk
exactly.
anybody.
That's what I said.
You
gotta
do what you gotta do, but that's not you shouldn't be just aiming for that.
Yeah.
You're right, bro. Like, I never really hear too many people mention that.
Yeah.
Like, people being stuck on the hourly
wage.
So my question to you, with that being said, how do you personally, like, in your experience and successes, how do you view money?
Yeah. So I just view money as a vehicle.
That's
to, yeah, to, you know, of course, give me the things that are necessary to live. Give me the things for entertainment, indulgement, and then also to set up my family. So even though I don't have,
preparing.
Yeah, I'm preparing. So, like, majority of the money that I make, I'm just thinking about, I know the lifestyle that I'm going to provide for my kid is going to be amazing. So, money's very important. We might hear, like, oh, money's the root of all evil. But, like, money is necessary. And the thing about money, if you start really studying it and indulging yourself in how to make it, it becomes so fulfilling when you start actually making money. Like, I was feeling so good when I start really making money and changing my life and affording the lifestyles that I wanted to do and traveling and doing all that. But that's because I put all that work in. I was, like you said, absorbing the information. I was studying. I'm YouTube University. Like, YouTube,
that's real.
Have all this information out there. Like,
No. And taking back to something you said, because a lot of people will try to bring that up. They'll say they'll say money is the root of all evil, and they misconstrue. You know, if you're going to go with scripture, the scripture say the love of money is the root of all evil. If you, like, in love with money. So there's nothing wrong with having money, with striving to have money, because at the end of the day, we live in a capitalist society.
Exactly.
If you don't got it, you're going to be sleeping on the curb, and ain't nobody going to come and help you.
Nah.
They're not going to look at you as an honorable person.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Have you ever, have you ever seen, as anybody, and I'm not judging, has anybody ever seen a homeless person be like, man, that's a drill dude, right? He's solid. Like, I don't, like, nobody thinks that. Like, they're going to be like, I'm staying away from that person.
Exactly.
So we need to be trying to obtain money, because it's going to help our life so much more. And something you said, like, bro, it's, I wholeheartedly agree with that, bro. The thing, something about obtaining money, especially when you work for it, is more, it makes you more confident. It makes you, they say it don't buy happiness, but I'm always in, like, you feel like, man, you could travel, treat yourself to nice things, friends, loved ones, like, I don't care what, I'll tell people all the time, somebody telling you that money not gonna make you happy, they lying to you.
Yeah.
Cause it might not even be the money. It just might be the options that the money gives you to figure out what happiness is for you.
Yeah.
That's how I would put it.
Exactly.
It give me that time freedom. Like, what the hell do I really enjoy?
Exactly.
And now I'm doing it.
And that's the key.
And that's the key.
And another thing too, like, especially for the young viewers out there, a lot of people tell them, oh, don't worry about it. Like, you have time. Don't worry. Like, not saying you have to worry, but you need to start focusing now. Like, I'm always on my brother. I'm like, bro, life is going to happen quick. Like, you need to go ahead and start prepping now.
Does 19 feel like a long time ago for you?
It feels like yesterday. We were talking about Jacksonville High School. I'm like, dang, I feel like I was just in high school.
Yo,
10 years ago.
Yo, I graduated. Yeah. I cannot believe I graduated high school 13 years ago, yep. Bro. That shit feel like that was 2 years. Yeah. Like, I remember. I vividly remember walking down the hallways to class like it was yesterday, bro.
Yep.
And I'm like, that was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
So you can't, you cannot just sit around and be like, oh, I got all this time in the world.
Nope.
You're going to look up. You're going to be, bro, I turned 30. I can't believe I'm 30.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking can't believe I'm like, exactly. Yo, I'm fucking 30 years old.
Big 3-0,
like, this is crazy. Like, it's going to be my mom, and she always telling me, she like, you're going to blink, you're going to be 40. Watch, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And I believe her. I'm like, because 30 happened so fast. So it's so it's scary, man.
Especially with your daughter, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you have a kid, time just it starts going by 10 times
exactly.
faster.
You be like, dang, she's 10? Wait, hold up.
And my daughter's 1, yo. I just had my daughter like a month ago, it feels like.
Yeah.
She's 1 already. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, this is kind of spooky, man.
Yeah.
It really tells me like, yo, you cannot fuck around. Yeah. You got to get on it. And I want to before we wrap up, I only got a few things for you. So what would you say is the, with you working in finances, what would you say is, if you had 3 money rules, what would they be?
Well, the first one is your income has to always exceed your expenses. You know, that's rule number 1.
More coming in and going out.
Rule number 1. Number 2 is control. I would like to call them your bad spending habits. So, like, for example, there's a lot of people who love Starbucks. Like, there's nothing wrong with drinking coffee, but like, what is that costing you, spending $7-$8 on Starbucks every day? And then now you come at the end of the month and you don't have any money and you're stuck living paycheck to paycheck. So if you can control, I think probably like the additional things that aren't necessities is what hinders a lot of people from growing in their life. So that would be number 2. And then the third one is just going to be, you have to plan for the future. So like your money, you can't just say like, oh, okay, I'm good right now, because anything could happen. Like anything in life could literally happen to you, and you might not have the money to do it. So if you have that money prepared, you're good. And that's not necessarily money for anything tragic happening in your life. It could be an opportunity to invest. Like, I've had so many like business ideas that I've had, and friends have been like, man, I'm trying to get on. And I'm like, you got an investment for this? A business isn't going to operate off our relationship. You need money for this. So they missed out on opportunities to like eat and grow with me. Monetarily, I'm still going to find ways to help my friends out. But like, if they would have had some money, they could have came in with the business idea as a official, you know, partner with some money, opposed to just like just being an employee. Mm.
Do you think we're in a recession?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, we just we talked about how like the CPI like it's crazy.
I feel like, because nobody really mentions it, like people act like, and I had a conversation with so many people, no we're not, like nobody's saying. I'm like, yo, y'all went on the news to give y'all this announcement where they probably never gonna announce it, because they know that when they announce it, people gonna stop spending.
Exactly. And but the thing is, they were like, when I was heavy on the financial advising, they were announcing it like post COVID, but then when the new presidency came, like that's why we see the stock market this year, and all presidential candidates, the stock market is always going to jump. But it's been really high now. That's why they're not talking about it. But like my company, with our unclaimed funds, excess proceeds, we track foreclosures. I'm seeing people are not paying their taxes, they're not paying their mortgage. Like, how many people are defaulting on their mortgage? So that goes hand in hand with the recession.
With you knowing that we're in a recession, has your mindset and every the day you live on the day, has it changed? Has you like made little changes saying this is a recession? I'm not going to spend as much here. I'm not going to do that. Like,
well, the good thing is I'm blessed, you know. So like the money is coming in full speed. So,
fuck that shit.
So I'm not really thinking about that. But like the other people that are in that situation. I always give them, you know, I got a few clients that I coach, and even family members as well. You know, your income has to be more than that outcome, you know.
No, facts. And the reason I asked that, because I was having this conversation with some people. I'm like, yo, we in a recession. Mm-hmm. If you're not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like you said, like if you're not in a position to be blessed, where you bring in a lot of money, you're going to have to adapt. What that might mean instead of you and your girl going out to eat twice a week, y'all might have to go out once every 2 weeks. You might not be able to afford the Ruth Chris every week now.
That's what I'm
saying. Because that's an extra $1,000 you're spending every month. So you have to scale back, slow it down, and evaluate what's going on, make some pivots and changes. Because you can't live, you can't have the same actions that you had in a booming economy that you and you do the same thing in the economy when it's not booming.
Exactly.
You got to adapt, because especially if it affects your market. Because if you're not a, if you got work a job and you're only making $60,000 a year and the economy was booming, you living good, now the shit going to tank and you still out here wilding, it's only a matter of time before you be effed up.
Yeah.
No money, ran out of money.
Down
and
bad,
all that stuff.
Exactly. And it'll happen so blindly too, because like you said, if you had a job paying $60,000 a couple of years ago, you were living comfortable. It was a good job. And, you know, jobs aren't giving you raises like to match the inflation, so it's not like, oh, I was making 60k, I'm good, and that same job is now paying me 120k. Like, no, you probably still making 60k, but your expenses
is double,
gone up. Yeah, exactly.
It's double. Yeah. And before we wrap up, I want to say, what would be your best piece of advice to all the listeners, watchers that's listening to this? They inspired by your story. Mm-hmm. They like, man, you was doing DoorDash, all these things. You became a millionaire in 2 years. That's something that I want to do. Like, what would you say to that person?
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, first you have to, I keep saying this, truly believe that the lifestyle that you want is meant for you. So if you want to be great, really believe, hone into that, because your thought process is going to then turn into daily habits. So just truly believe that the life that you're envisioning, you have those visions for a reason. God has given you that lifestyle that you want in your brain. Now we just got to make it physical. So just realize that it's meant for you. Create that plan and execute. That's the biggest thing that allowed me to become successful in that small 2 year time frame to become a millionaire from being down bad. Like, I was sleeping on my grandpa's couch. He told me, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I just can't do it no more. I had to figure it out. I just executed as hard as possible, and within 2 years became a millionaire. Anybody can do it. Create that plan and execute.
That's so fire, bro. First, I want to say I commend you. So salute, the utmost respect, bro, because I know that's a hell of a thing to overcome and do that in such a short period of time. So that's super dope. And second is, before we go, well, I want to say first, thanks again for coming on the show.
Oh,
bro.
No, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Extremely valuable, dope episode. We're going to have to do this again for sure. But plug all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, buy your book, get a console, everything you got going on, plug it.
Yeah, for sure. So on YouTube, you guys can find me, Money Making Juggernaut, and that's where I talk about assisting individuals for unclaimed funds. If you guys are interested in that, great career to get into, no previous experience, no license required. You're going to just help people file claims for money that they're entitled to. On Instagram, you can find me, E-R-I-Z-Z-Y-Y. And then the Men's Luxury Spa is opening up in downtown Orlando. You guys can find us on all socials, Men's Luxury Spa.
That's dope, bro. As y'all heard it, man, tap into everything he got going on. He got amazing dope things, even more things to come. And that's for me. Y'all can find me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller and the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. That's everywhere, YouTube, Spotify, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're everywhere. And that's all I got for y'all on this episode of Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.